What is it that the intelligence agencies are doing well to manage the cyber challenges that they're dealing with?
Well, you know, in spite of all the criticism you hear around, I think they've really gotten off base pretty quickly on this one to try to put together a number of what we would consider the stovepipes in the community, whether it's an FBI or a DHS or NSA, et cetera. And they formed up Cyber Command last year as a way of trying to coalesce some of these things together. But I think they're the victim of how fast this all is moving. Again, within the last 5 years, the whole cyberspace, as you and I would know it, has just exploded. I mean, it's beyond the internet now. It's in business. It's in commercial. It's for individuals in the civilian sector. You know, we have a huge amount of government interaction. And, of course, the military has been net-centric for a number of years now. And we have more and more players that are really outside of control of their own governments overseas, and government players as well. So it really is, in a lot of ways, the wild frontier.
Fast and government often are polar opposites. They are not terms that you hear used together. What should the intelligence community, you think, be doing to make sure that they can deploy quickly but try to cut down some of the break through some of these stovepipes?
Well, I think one of the successes the intelligence community had during its time against the Soviet Union was that, to some extent, it imitated what it was going against. It knew what the moves were. It anticipated, to some extent, what the thinking is. That's hard within any kind of government agency. We're not built to do that. We're built to try to make decisions in the long term. We're built essentially to have decision makers, a lot of decision makers involved in the process. And also, frankly, we're built to have some form of doctrine or direction before we do something. One of the challenges I think the whole government is facing right now, intelligence community and others, is we don't really have a doctrine within the U.S. government as to how to take care of this stuff. You know, you try to defend everything, you defend nothing. And you need to really decide, what are you going to defend, what are you not going to defend, and how are you going to do it? I've heard military people talk about putting bombs down the chimneys of whoever these people are, who are these miscreants, and I keep thinking, when are they going to add that chimney function to my Apple computer? But, you know, and not making fun of them, I understand where they're coming from on this, but truly you need to get young people, you need to get people who are extremely experienced in the understanding of the world of the internet. I mean, I'm 55 years old, I approach it like I'm approaching a box full of eggs. You need to have young people in there who feel comfortable with it. But also at the same time, you need to be able to tie the policymaker to the analyst. And it's often very difficult to do because the people who know this stuff cold tend to be people who are more IT people. And they oftentimes have a tough time reaching out to the policy guys and vice versa. So it's a challenge. I think you focus on the younger people. I think you do everything you can to try to get people in there. And I understand the clearance process can be difficult sometimes. But the young people who understand this are out there, they're available, they're in their 20s, and I think we nearly need to make a strong reach out to these young people to get them involved with the government so they understand that they're not just protecting the government, they're protecting our nation and our way of life.
A couple of points there that I want to touch on that I think are really interesting. You used the model of the Cold War model, that we imitated what we were going against. Some of that may have been unintentional, and we learned more through intelligence efforts and then after the breakup of the Soviet Union, that to some degree what we were going against there was something, a structure at least, that was very similar to ours. Lots of layers, bureaucracy, and so forth. It's a little more difficult, I would imagine, in the circumstance that we're in now, when we may be subjected to as much of a threat from a lone wolf as from a nation state, say, I'll just pick on China for a moment for
sure.
Random reason.
Sure.
So that concept might be a lot more challenging now than it was during the Cold War.
Yeah, this is a several degrees of difficulty higher. One of the real challenges of cyberspace is, in many ways, this is a new frontier. This is like land, sea, air, and space. This is a domain. It is a domain that we're not experienced in. It's a domain that we don't have the flexibility of moving in. 10 to 12 kids in, well, let's take your example, in Shanghai, can carry on an attack on a U.S. Military contractor. What does that say? Does it say that the Chinese are involved with it? Does it say that these kids did it out of nationalist purposes? Does that constitute a threat to the United States if one of our contractors is being hacked? You know, the answers to that is, yeah, maybe, and we need to find out more about it. But it really behooves us to think about how we're going after these people and how we're going after this domain. We've got to be more flexible. We've got to be able to move faster. We have to cut back over our own stovepipes at this point. And I think we're still in the reaching and grasping stage. Cyber Command to me is a good thing. It's a very good thing. And it's a first step in a process that's going to ultimately have to tie the United States government together to really pursue this, because ultimately it's only the USG that's got the capability to do the kind of, let me use another Cold War term, civil defense that you need to have within the Internet. Because you're not just protecting government, you're protecting businesses, which own 90% of the infrastructure on the net, so you're protecting individuals. I mean, the amount, the volume this year, I'll be very curious to hear the volume this year of people who shopped on the Internet, as an example, never mind banking, never mind just their day-to-day communications. It's really up to the USG to develop a node, a center of excellence that they can help, not only pursue the bad guys, but really get out in front of where the technologies are. And what it is that we need to do to defend ourselves.
You actually take me where I wanted to go next, and that is to wrap up. Are we headed in the right direction? You said Cyber Command is a good thing. Is it the direction overall that we should be going, or is it a kind of an aberration on a path that's maybe not going the right way?
No, I think we're going the right direction on it. Part of the challenge on this, obviously, is the stovepipes within the government, and I don't necessarily mean that in a negative way. People who are concentrating on Homeland Security and intelligence and NASA and whoever else have their own jobs to do on a daily basis. I think the biggest challenge here lies in how the government deals with an issue that is primarily based in the private sector. It's hard to exchange information the way the laws are drawn up right now. That has to be reviewed, and I think the Congress is beginning to move a little bit in that direction. It also has to encourage and perhaps set guidelines for the kind of security that should be used in the private sector. One of the dirty little secrets of cyberspace, I think, is that security has been done on the cheap. Almost from day one. I mean, this was an information exchange system. People viewed security as sort of a secondary issue. It's a cost for corporations. It's a cost for individuals. But I think the government could do a lot of people a lot of favors at this point and better secure the net if we set a set of standards by which people needed to secure their actions with the net.